You know, if I've said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it even after this, even if no one's listening. This episode of A Slice of Ham was brought to you by listeners like you, especially my Patreon supporters, including, and limited to, Jordan Maloney, Seth Godwin, August Reed, Marty Abernathy, Christy Knapp, Leslie Gettinger, Mindy Carrier, Allie McDowell, Shauna, Shalane Lane, Kimberly Newell, Crystal Lurvy, Jordan Ackley, Aislinn Wilkerson, Dan Murphy, Callie Madden, Brooke Ponstein, Megan Weimer, Elizabeth, Amanda Haynes, Emily Davis, Andrea Livingston, Samantha Ward, Monica Hempfling, Christine Field, Mary, or MJ for short, Shay Bank, Alan Caldwell, Matthew McHam, Corrine Werner, Spencer Johnson, and the lovely Salamander. I love you. I love you all. I love my Patreon supporters especially. I have been taking a little bit of a break for my mental health. I've been letting the Lexapro run through my system. I've been in hibernation, but now I'm looking to come back better than ever. So give me suggestions on episodes to do. You can email me. You can leave a voice message. You can message me on TikTok, on Instagram. You can leave a comment. I thank you all for the support. I see your comments all the time, like, hey, listen to the podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you so much because you encourage me. You encourage me. You encourage me to keep going. I love you. I love you. And here's to a wonderful 2022. Let's get yourself a slice, bitch. Bring it to me. New intro. I decided to put new intro music on for the podcast. Give it a little funky beat on the funky street. Hi, how are you? My name is Casey Hamilton, and welcome to my podcast, A Slice of Ham. It's been a fat fucking minute since I've done one of these. I have been... First of all, hi. How are you? Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Did your ball drop? I hope it did. I hope it did. I hope it had a soft landing. Well, it has been quite the year. 2021, the year from hell, is over. And I'm happy. I'm happy that it's over, because 2021, although it was the best year of my life, it was also the worst year of my life. I would say mental health-wise, this was a tough fucking year. It seems like the whole month of December, I was just depressed. Like, November, December, I was depressed. I wasn't posting on TikTok. And then I was just like, I need a break altogether. So I just let my body sort of collapse on me, which is not good. But I'm doing better. I also started taking Lexapro a while ago. I've been on it for about a month and a half now, and I'm just now starting to come out of the fog. So I think this episode is going to be like a welcome back. Ha ha hee hee. I'm probably going to give some details about my Patreon just to let you guys know what's up with that. I'm going to give you some details on the book club that we do here on the regular podcast, and just, you know, what my plans are for the future. I just want to let you know what's been up. And also, I'm going to go in depth onto what I've been experiencing with my Lexapro. So, my mental health journey, if you will. I've learned a lot in the short amount of time that I've been on Lexapro. It really hits you like a fucking ton of bricks. It's crazy. I got super tired initially, and I was just fatigued and burnt out, and like I wanted to sleep all day. And now I'm not so much tired all the time, but I'm hungry. I want to eat everything in sight. I want to eat everything. I'll get into that later. But for now, I appreciate you. You listening. You glorious listener. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Whether you have just started to listen to the podcast just now, whether you clicked my bio and were like, oh, you have a podcast? Oh my God. Or if you've been a listener since the first episode, kisses for you. Kisses for you. And if you don't want kisses, then I'm sorry that I did that. I should have asked first. Would you like some kisses? Yes? Okay. I love you very much. I love you very much. So, I completely just, my mind went blank. I became a child person. Sometimes these characters just like take hold of my brain, like these voices and characters, and I don't know what to do with them. like sometimes I'll talk like this, and it'll really make my girlfriend mad because she does not like when I talk like this. But sometimes I like it because, sometimes I like to feed birds with her, and I say, look at all the birds, and she gets very mad. And sometimes, here come the new year, new coughs. New year, same old fucking bodily functions. Coughing and burping and sniffling and sneezing. That's me. That's what I do, baby. I sometimes when I get those characters like in my brain, like sometimes it'll be like a Hispanic man named Enrique Sanchez. My name is Enrique Sanchez. Hello, how are you, my sweetness? I want to cook you a fabulous dinner. And I will stay like that in that character for far too long. Not like days on end, but like the bit was supposed to end in 5 minutes and I'm doing it for like 10. And Jordan, my girlfriend, will be like, bring him back. Let him out. Let him go. Bring back my boyfriend. Oh, I got distracted. So my plans for this year, I really want to, I think I, with Patreon, I love doing Patreon. I love doing the secret book club. I love doing my movie commentaries. I think I bit off more than I can chew with like the monthly movie nights because it's hard to schedule those. So it's just easier because with podcasts, you can just burn out a bunch of content at once and chuck it out. And the movie nights that we did were very, very fun. But it's hard to schedule when you have more than a couple people. So I decided to take that down, and it was too pricey anyway. I feel like $20 is a good, like, high-tier number. I'm getting back into substitute teaching anyway to hopefully give me some stability in terms of my income, because the TikTok Creator Fund, as we know, is a little bit garbo sometimes. There it is, our first burp of 2022! Ooh, I knew it was coming. So I just want to give people the best that I can offer. And I think that the secret book club that we do is the best thing that I can offer at this time. Oh, but I would love to do more. I tend to do this thing where I bite off more than I can chew and then I get burnt out really easily. I get burnt out and then I just quit, but I'm not quitting this. I love podcasting. I didn't want to burn myself out, you know? So, hi, hello. I turned off my January billing for January, and I think I might do it for February as well, just to, you know, give myself a break and also give myself some time to, like, record a bunch of stuff at once and then release it on a schedule, hopefully. Just so I would love to have a backlog of content because it's sometimes hard to pull ideas for stuff to talk about when you're doing it by yourself. What else is there? So yeah, gonna keep the secret book club for $10 a month. That's easy. Two episodes at least. And then a movie commentary track every month for $20 with all the other stuff included, which is fun. It's fun. I like doing the movie commentaries. And I add the movies into a folder so you have access to the movies and the tracks as well. I think I want to start doing some like weird movies as well. Like a normal one and then a fucking weird one. To a month, that would be good. It's easy to do. And I love watching movies. And I would love to get multiple people in them as well. But I don't know how to record that yet, effectively. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, what else is there? So I, you know, Patreon's been going well. I've been getting my mental health back on track. I have been settling into San Antonio pretty well. I can feel the change that Lexapro has made already. And in the short time that I've been on it, I know I should have been on an SSRI since I was in fucking middle school, man. It's been very weird because I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to finally not have my emotions be like 0 to 100. I'm glad to be sort of equalized a bit. I'm moving forward on the path to equalization. I don't get angry so much anymore. And that's a fucking blessing to me because I've been, to me, my view of myself that I've had in my head is I'm just a loud, obnoxious, angry fuck. And I'm finally moving away from that because my brain is finally being balanced. But I probably should have been on some form of SSRI or mood stabilizer since I was a child. And I've found myself grieving the person that I would have been had that have happened. Would I have been more successful? Would I have already achieved my dreams? I don't know. That's a very extreme way of thinking, but I sometimes think, what kind of person would I have been if I was able to be even keel? If I was able to not let my anger take the driver's seat so often, if I was able to be in control, if I was able to not have my emotions be so jarringly extreme, positive or negative, you know, and it has its benefits, but it has its absolute negative aspects as well. I feel good about where I'm going, you know. I feel good about the path that I'm headed on in terms of my mental health. The first month of me taking Lexapro, and if there's anybody out there that's listening to this that's thinking about, you know, bettering your mental health or going to see a psychiatrist or doing anything related to pharmaceuticals, because I was like, what's going to happen when I take Lexapro? I was scared that it was going to drain my creativity and I was going to not be the same person. And I'm going to me. I'm not going to be me again. I'm not going to be the same old goofy guy. I'm going to be, you know, in SpongeBob, when SpongeBob becomes normal.
Hi, how are you?
That's exactly how I thought. That's how I thought I was going to be. Turns out that that's not the case at all. I'm normal now. I'm normal. I'm not normal in terms of like all the fun aspects of my personality are gone. My creativity is not gone, but my emotions are starting to become much more regulated. And it makes me wish that, makes me wish that I had been on this type of shit a long time ago, because maybe I would have been a more pleasant person to be around. I would have been less obnoxious. I would have been less annoying, you know. I went to therapy a couple times for maybe like a few months when I was in eighth grade. And it didn't work, you know. We went there because me and my family were having some sort of trouble. I guess I was being too difficult. Really, I just think I was an annoying kid and my parents didn't really know what to do. And they couldn't, like, effectively, they couldn't shut me up. So they were like, take him to a therapist and have her tell him why he needs to shut up. And therapy didn't work. My relationship with my family didn't really improve. So at least in eighth grade, in terms of middle school, has it improved since then? Yeah. yes, it has. Of course it has. We've grown older. We've grown wiser. We can laugh with each other now, me and my parents, because obviously when you're in middle school, things are tumultuous, but now we joke around. We can have genuine conversations. Are we as close as other families? No, absolutely not. Me and my family I've always been sort of the quote unquote black sheep because I've been so unregulated, you know? And I went to therapy in eighth grade, it didn't work, and then that painted therapy in my head is something that doesn't work. I was like, oh, therapy didn't work for me that one time, so therapy doesn't work. And goddamn, I would have put myself in therapy so much sooner had I found out about Open Path. If you don't know what Open Path is, I don't know if it's a Texas-only thing or if it's a worldwide thing, but I go to therapy through Open Path, and you can sign up for it. You pay a one-time fee when you sign up, and then all of your therapy appointments subsequent from their list of therapists, they have to be on their list of approved therapists through Open Path if they're affiliated. Therapy appointments are between $30 and $60. That's really affordable. That's really affordable, especially for somebody like me that was living on a teacher's salary and for half the time living at home, not paying fucking rent. You know, all I had to do was pay gas, and I paid for my own food and the alcohol that I was drinking at the time, but that was it. I saved my money to be able to move out. I had a good chunk saved, and that's how I was able to move out. But I would have put myself in therapy so much longer ago had I not have painted it in my own head as something that didn't work. I finally put myself in therapy recently, and I've been, you know, dealing through all my perceived childhood trauma, perceived trauma now, you know, all of the stuff, the chemical imbalance, you know, is it me? Is it my brain? What's wrong with me? Going to see a psychiatrist, getting on Lexapro, getting those SSRIs in my system. And now I finally feel like how I should have felt, I think. I think this version of me, not version of me, but this person, this Casey Hamilton, hi, hello, the one that's on Lexapro and the one that feels like this, the one that's on this path, I very much like it. I'm still myself, still goofy, still obnoxious, I'm still loud as fuck, but I don't get angry as much anymore. I can feel my emotions starting to equalize. And I think the opinion that my family had of me was like, oh, he gets angry. That sucks. It wasn't that sucks, but it was like, oh God, he gets angry really easily. That's, ugh. He should figure that out. It wasn't, oh, he gets angry really easily. Maybe he can't control it. Let's see what we can figure out together. I'm sorry I keep coughing so much. My anger and my emotions, you know, being 0 to 100, I've always felt like an inconvenience. I've always felt like, I've always felt like a stain in terms of, you know, my emotion and my temper, my inability to regulate sometimes, especially with my family. I have felt like a stain, i.e., for example, meaning something to be cleaned up, something to be wiped away, a blemish, you know? I always felt like the way that I acted, the way that my brain was, the way that my brain was so unregulated. I always thought that I was an inconvenience, a stain, a blemish onto other people, especially my family. And, you know, I was also adopted, you know, at birth. They set it up before I was born. So that also sprinkles in some doubt in my own head, which I'm talking about when I was like a child, teenager, and even a little bit now. But I know that it's unfounded, and I know that it's completely irrational. But sometimes I think, you know, did they regret adopting such an angry child? Did they regret adopting such a loud, obnoxious, weird individual? Because I don't really care about fitting the status quo that much. I like being weird. I like wearing loud colors. I like being funky. And especially in the small town, that didn't always gel. And for years, I thought that I was the problem. I thought that it was like, you get angry, why can't you fix it? Why can't you fix it? Instead of maybe recognizing that it's something that you can't control. Do you know how many people have some sort of a mental health chemical imbalance, some sort of a sprinkle, everybody's got a different soup, all right? Everybody's got a different, I'll tell you, everybody's got a different soup. Everybody's got, what I mean by everybody's got a different soup is everybody has some sort of mental health soup. And mine is like a sprinkling of inability to regulate temper, a dash of depression and anxiety, just a ladleful of latent alcoholism. Addictive personality, whatever you want to call it. But everybody's got their own soup. And for the longest time, I was like, why can't you control? Why can't you be a better chef? You know? And anybody out there that's listening to this that might be going through a similar awakening, it ain't your fault. Just because you were born with a chemical imbalance, that's your fault and you have to control it? No. Mental health is not our fault, but, and this is the key here, it is our responsibility to a degree. To a degree, it is our responsibility, depending on how severe your mental health is, your mental health issues are, your mental health exceptionalities are. For me, I needed to be on some sort of a mood stabilizer, SSRI, whatever have you. Lexapro was a light. I see comments all the time. Lexapro saved my life. Lexapro saved my life. I got messages from my lovely Patreon supporters. I got some messages from you lovely people. Messaging me saying, stick with it. Get through the fog. It's going to change your life. And damn it, you were right. Oh, the fog was intense. I rolled through the fog. I tried to roll through the fog as best I could. But I thought I was going to drown. I thought I would take my ship down. I can't. Improv is not, pirate improv. I'm not the best at. Me hardy ship. Oi, oi, oi. Do pirates say oi, oi, oi? Oh, what? Oi, oi, oi. That's what a pirate says. When I was in kindergarten, whenever they asked, what does a pirate say? I went, oi, oi, oi. And they fucking failed me. Oh, man. What was I talking about? I don't understand. Right, I had some Patreon supporters message me like, "Oh, you're gonna get through the fog. It's gonna be all right. You're gonna feel like shit, but then you're gonna come up and be okay." The first month, the first month I started taking Lexapro, I could, you know, I started feeling a difference almost immediately. Like right after I took the first pill, I started feeling calmer and a little bit more regulated. But then I felt tired, more tired than I've ever felt in my life. More tired than I've ever felt in my life in any given day. And there have been days where I've done a lot of stuff and been tired, but for the most part, I have a lot of energy. Days, weeks, there was like, it must have been 2 weeks, two full weeks where I was like dead, completely DOA, dead on arrival, slumped, exhausted. All I wanted to do was lay in bed and go to sleep. I would wake up at 2 o'clock p.m. after having gone to bed, you know, at like 1 in the morning-ish, or maybe like between 1 to 3, and then I would sleep from 2 up until 5 some days. And I would feel like shit for sleeping so long, but then I'd be like, maybe I need it, I don't know. And then I finally just gave in. And then slowly but surely, I started waking up a little bit earlier. And there was one day where I woke up at 10 o'clock and I was like, I think I'm going to stay awake. And I've been, you know, waking up at 10, between 10 and noon some days, you know, depending on if I want to sleep in a little bit longer. But I've been waking up earlier. I've had a lot more energy. I've wanted to go out and do more things. I've been going out to the shelter almost every goddamn day. I go to the animal shelter. We have a local animal shelter, 2 branches. It's a no-kill shelter. It's called the Animal Defense League of Texas here in San Antonio, Texas. And I love those animals. I went there today. I visited a little puppy dog named Tony. Oh, Tony boy. I loved Tony. He was sweet. I saw my fat cats. I saw all the cats. I didn't get to see the kittens. I didn't even get to go in the kitten room. There was a cat named Butter that I was supposed to see, but I never got to see. I want to start volunteering at that shelter. I want to start volunteering there with Jordan. I want to make it my mission to use my platform to help those animals. If you've been watching my TikTok, you've probably seen a lot of shelter content recently. That's why, because I fell in love with those babies. So I want to say that although although my mental health has been kind of in the drain lately, I'm finally clawing my way out of the gutter. And that's really what it feels like. It feels like you claw your way out of the fucking gutter. Ugh. What else is there? So, actually, hang on. Let me pause for a second. It's 6 o'clock. Time to take my pill.
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Don't ever call me an amateur, all right? Don't ever call me an amateur, because I'm a Lexapro.
Whoa, big fat idiot gulp. You know what it's time for? It's time for another big fat idiot gulp. Here we go. Disgusting. I'm a good boy. I take my pill.
So, I've been on a little mental health journey. I've been feeling better. I'm happier. I feel like I'm emerging from a chrysalis, a little cocoon. I feel like a tasty little butterfly. And it's flapping its wings for the first time. Can you believe it? Little butterfly boy. If you were a butterfly, what color do you think you'd be? Do you think you'd be pink? Or do you think you'd be blue? Do you think you'd be orange? Or do you think you'd be black? Do you think you'd be white? Chartreuse? Maybe even beige? A beige butterfly. I'd never allow it in my house. Ah. Again, I just became someone else and they took over.
Let me tell you something. I think you're doing great. Yeah, so that's been my mental health journey over the past month and a half, 2 months or so. I'm grateful. I'm definitely grateful, but there have been some days that have been harder than others, for sure. But I'm grateful to finally have the balance that I've always been looking for my entire life. And I'm grateful for it. There is a part of me that is mourning the person or grieving for the person that I would have been had I had it this whole time. Would I have been a better person? Probably. But that's neither here nor there. You know, that's the past is the past. And also, with the advent of social media, I think that it's done a lot of harm for sure, especially in the mental health realm, but it's also done a lot of good in the mental health realm because it has furthered the conversation. You think I would have fucking gone to therapy if I didn't have so many accounts of people going to therapy on just ready to scroll through on my phone? If I didn't have Google to search through, if I didn't have a wealth of not only information, but a wealth of experiences. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have done it without that. I wouldn't have done it without my girlfriend, Jordan. Jordan was the key here. She really pushed me to get better. And I love her for that. You know, she was the foot on my back that pushed me down the cliff of mental health. Of getting my mental health on track. She sort of pushed me. She called the therapist for me. And then once she did that, I was off. Boom. So, you know, I don't know. Would I have been a better person? I don't know. Probably. Meh. It doesn't really matter. I don't know if it would have made a difference. I don't think there was a chance because there just wasn't a whole lot of discussion publicly available. Really, if you wanted to talk about mental health and how to better it, you had to go searching. And I love my parents to death. I love them. I love them dearly. They are two beautiful individuals. My father is incredibly intelligent. Hysterically funny. That's where I get a lot of my sense of humor from, is both my mother and my father. They are hilarious individuals. My mom is another intelligent individual. She was a big reason as to why I love the world of film so much. She showed me my first rated R movie. We watched it together, Stand By Me, Rob Reiner. It's a classic. My dad showed me Creepshow when I was 8 years old. I have it tattooed on my arm. Come on, man. I love my parents to death. They made me who I am. They instilled in me a lot of responsibility. You know, my dad was my scoutmaster throughout Boy Scouts. He made sure that I was being the best that I could be. However, you know, there's always a but. You know, there's at some point in your life where you realize, hey, your parents are just people. Parents are just people doing their best. And I was the first child. I was the firstborn. I was the guinea pig. That's my guinea pig noise. I'm a guinea pig. Do they make noises? I'm going to make my guinea pig noise. Hey, I'm a guinea pig. How you doing? Guinea pig here. How about this? Guinea pig.
Hi, I'm a little guinea pig. Please don't hurt me.
I 100% am the guinea pig of my family, absolutely. So, you know, being born in 1995, growing up, you know, my freshman year of high school was 2009, 2010. Mental health was not in the forefront of discussion the way that it is now. You know, people just weren't talking about it as much. And especially for my parents, it was just like, eh, well, you figure it out. You know, we'll take you to therapy. And then the therapy in eighth grade didn't work. So then I think they were like, all right, I guess he's just angry and that's how he is. So we'll just deal with it. But we all should have dug a little deeper on that one. I would love to have dug deeper, but I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to regulate my own mental health. I was just trying not to fucking beat the shit out of myself or punch a hole in the wall or scream at my siblings. And that's not to say that I was like an angry son of a bitch all the time. But that is how I view myself, as like an angry fuck. But, you know, whenever I would get upset, whether it's a little frustration or a big one, it wouldn't matter. I would get like, let's say my phone was a little slow and I'd be like, ugh, fuck. I would get loud. And it would seem on the outside that I'm really fucking angry. It seems on the outside, from an outsider looking in, it seems like I'm really, really, really upset. But inside, I'm only like a little bit angry, but it comes out the same way. It comes out in the same burst of anger because that's just how my fucking brain works. There was no inability to regulate frustration or anger. Whether it was big or small, it would come out in a burst. And whenever I would get big angry, there are some times, it happens to this day, where I get so angry that it's almost like pushing a boulder off a cliff. I'll get so angry about something that I start hitting myself. I start screaming. It's hard to bring me back down. I have to like go for a drive or isolate myself. I have bruised the shit out of my face, my legs, my chest, my stomach, my jaw. And, you know, it sucks to talk about this. I don't feel particularly good because I'd like to think that I have my shit together. But, man, sometimes my anger would just get so explosive, I would just literally engage in self-harm to feel anything but the anger. Like, I felt like a tea kettle about to explode, just to literally blow off that steam. I would hit myself because it felt so good when I stopped. And that is self-harm. You know? And I still engage in it at the age of 26. I've, you know, gotten in front of it and now actively, and I actively am in front of it now, and I am taking the steps to stop it. But even up to like age 25, 26, still literally beating myself up when I got angry like that to the point of being explosive. It has affected my communication with other people. Because sometimes when I argue with people, especially the people that I love, like family members, you know, when you get into an argument, sometimes I would get so like heated, you know, you get loud, you get angry, and it's almost like the anger puts up a fucking 500 foot tall wall that no amount of, it doesn't matter if the other person is right about whatever they're talking about or wrong, the anger puts up the wall and either you don't hear anything or you just bark at the other person to get them to shut up. And that's not healthy communication. So that's why I've been taking Lexapro and trying to get in front of it. It has not been easy, but I'm grateful for it. I am incredibly grateful for it because I finally am starting to feel like how I should have been feeling all this time. Yes, I mourn the person that I could have been. Do I blame my family? No. No. you know, I'm the firstborn child. I'm the guinea pig. And mental health just wasn't talked about back then the way that it's talked about now. And also, like it or not, I mean, I love my parents to death. They made me who I am today. At the same time, they're also not really particularly emotionally available in the way that I need it. They are emotionally available, but I need a lot. I need a lot. I'm a big old soft and needy cancer boy. You know, I'm very, very soft. I'm a big old softy. I read into tone a lot. I read between the lines, even when there's nothing to read between the lines about. I am a big people pleaser, because I just want to make people proud. I don't want to be a burden on people. And, you know, doing well in school, doing well in scouts, that's a good way to get in my parents' good graces. But, you know, being like my weirdo self, I remember there was one time where I wanted this, like, I think it was a Stay Puffed Marshmallow backpack, because it was like a Ghostbusters backpack, and it was cool, and it was like an obscure thing. It was an obscure character from the movie that I loved, and I thought it was a cool backpack, and I wanted it, and I wanted it, and school was about to start, and I wanted it, and I begged my mother for it, and I begged her, and I begged her, and she put up a fight. She was like, it's stupid. Why do you want that? She couldn't understand why. She could not understand. I think that's the key. My parents love me. I love my parents, but I think that there is a lack of understanding. I think that they look at me, and they're like, oh, man, he makes us proud, but he's a weird motherfucker, isn't he? We don't get him, but he does well in school, and he does well on tests, and he's a good public speaker, and he does well in speeches, and he performs in theater, and he's very talented. You know, he makes us proud that way. But my whole life, I've always wanted to make people proud for just being me. Because everything else that I can do, the speech, the public speaking, and the acting, and the voice impressions, and all of that comes with me. I don't like to toot my own horn, but, you know, I like to be weird. I like to be funny. I like to do the weird voices, and that all goes well with, like, speech contests, and public speaking, and acting in theater, and, you know, Boy Scouts and all that shit. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I wanted to make people proud for being my weird, goofy self and making my dumb little videos and being a form of escapism, a human form of escapism. You know, I always come to me if you need a laugh. If you need a laugh, if you need a smile, if you need a hug, if you need dumb energy, if you need to just relax for a bit with some goofy ass shit, that's my role. I remember going to the funeral of my old scoutmaster and coworker. He was a coworker of mine at the high school. And also I've known him since I was 5 years old because he was my dad's. He was a friend of my dad because he was my assistant scoutmaster throughout scouts. I knew his son all of my childhood. And COVID, unfortunately, took him from us. And I remember going to the funeral and seeing everybody around me, and my dad was there, and my dad does such a good he does such a good job with shit like that. He walked right over and he was like, "How are you?" He was so sympathetic and gentle. I'm like a goofy dog, you know. He was like a regal German Shepherd, poised. He sat when he was told to. He walked up to you and he sits by your side with his head held high, and he's regal. And I'm just like a fucking pug. I'm like a pug in the back corner of the funeral. Just fucking breathing all heavy. Ugh. So he walks up and he's like, how are you? Are you okay? You know, he's rubbing backs and he's shaking hands and he's being such a force of gentleness that people need in that time. And I don't know how to do that. I get really awkward with that. But you know what I like doing? I like making people laugh. I like making people laugh to forget their troubles for a little bit. And I sit down right next to his daughter, my friend in school's older sister. And I sit next to her and I say, hey, how are you? You remember me? And she's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember when your little brother had a slumber party and you fell asleep and we drew a bunch of dicks on your face in permanent marker? And she paused for a minute and she laughed and she was like, I do remember that. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it was too stupid. It was just a moment where she giggled for a second. She laughed. It was just so out of the blue. And it was a gamble. I didn't know if she was going to laugh or not, but she laughed. And I hope that it took a damper out of arguably one of the hardest days of her life. That's what I want to make people proud for, especially my family. Not how many bullet points I have on a resume. You know? I love my family. They've made me who I am today. But I want to make people proud for who I am and not what I can do for people. I want to make people proud for who I am to them and not what I can do for them. And, you know, there's that coupled with, you know, the inability to regulate emotions, good or bad, you know, 0 to 100 all the time, anger out of control. I've always felt like it was my fault, and it ain't, you know, it's just how it goes sometimes, but I'm grateful that I'm on the path to finally becoming the person that I want to be. I would say ages 23 to 26. Oh my God. Or like 24 to 26. They're the hardest. They are the hardest years. Some of the hardest years of life. I'm fucking eternally grateful for what I have now. I've been overlooking it. I've been overlooking the good things in my life. The platform that I have, the fucking people that I have behind me, the interactions that I have in person, the interactions that I have online, the people that are on my side and are proud of me for me. I've been overlooking the fact that I finally have what I've always wanted. I just may not be getting it from the people I want it from, but I'm still getting it in fucking abundance. So, you listening right now, if you've made it this far into the podcast, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting the nonsense that I put out. And thank you for being a friend. I never thought that I would be doing this. You know, I Yeah, I'm getting back into substitute teaching just to have a little bit of extra income. But there's no way I'm stopping TikToking. There's no way I'm stopping anything related to my voice acting. There's no way I'm stopping podcasting. I have always wanted to entertain, you know? I want to do it. And I hope that I'm doing it. I hope I'm doing it for you. So that's really the mental health journey that I've been on. What else has been going on in my life? Well, I'll tell you right after a brief message. This episode of A Slice of Ham is brought to you by HelloFresh. For just $25 a month, you can get a HelloFresh box of food delivered right to your door with a list of ingredients and recipes for you to try out at home. I got my first HelloFresh box delivered to me just last night, and when I opened it up, surprise, surprise, it was filled with a bunch of human knees. Filled with human knees. I made myself human knee bone stew, and it was real delicious. Based on their recipe, you can try HelloFresh today. Make sure you pick out the fingernails before you try it if you don't want any human parts. Are human parts safe to eat? I don't know. There wasn't any warning on the box, so I think I'll be okay. Again, that's just $25 a month. Go to HelloFresh.com and put in the code IEATHUMANKNEES to get 25% off of your HelloFresh subscription today. That's the code IEATHUMANKNEES. Oh, man. That was weird. Very strange. Hello. Great ads. So what is next? What's coming up next for the podcast? What's coming up next on the roster? I know that we're still in the middle of a couple books right now. Haven't read in a while, but that's the beautiful thing about picking Unspeakable Acts and it being an anthology book is we can come back to it and, you know, we can leave, come back. It's not a full continuous story, but I do have some other books that I want to read as well. I don't know which one I'm going to read next. I have no idea, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, baby. Ugh. Wonderful stuff. So on the Secret Book Club, we are reading Don't Call It a Cult right now, which is all about the story of Keith Raniere and the women of Nexium. Cultiness, but don't call it a cult. You're not supposed to call it a cult. Ugh. And on this regular podcast, we're reading from Unspeakable Acts, which is an anthology book, a bunch of different stories all compiled into one book. And it also talks about why we consume true crime media as well. You know, true crime media is pretty, I mean, it's exploitative. It does exploit. I'm part of the problem. Hi. But it's always been that way. There's always been a fascination with true crime. People have always been obsessed with it. I think people got a little bit burnt out on true crime with O.J. Simpson. And then what kicked everybody's interest into true crime back into high gear was, I think, Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony was the big case that really pulled people together on that one. All right. Let's go to our new segment, fan questions. I think we're going to answer some questions from our fans. Let's see. I'm going to look at question number one. This question comes from Tyler. He asks, have you ever thought about putting a lemon in your asshole to see how far it will stretch? I am gonna go to bed now. I'm gonna go to bed now. That was a filthy thing to say to me, and I cannot believe it. Well, that's the only fan question that I have to answer, so that's it for that segment. It's not a real segment. It's not a real question. I just made it up to fool you. I don't really have anything else planned. You know, I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful to have you. I want to kiss your face so bad. But that's really what's been going on in my life. And I don't really think that I have... Oh, God! I do have more to talk about. So Jordan and I, my lovely girlfriend, we were thinking about taking a trip together. We were thinking about going to Los Angeles. We were thinking about going to Los Angeles in February, but I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're going to go to Utah in March because there's a giant animal sanctuary that has its own like hotels and cabins on the property. And not only do you get to stay like near the animals, you can bring an animal back to your room with you every single night. You can bring a cat, a dog, or a rabbit. You can bring a different animal home every single night. And while you're there, you get to volunteer, you get to play with all the animals, you get to feed the horses and the pigs and the rabbits and the cats and the dogs and the goats and the monkeys and all the wild animals that they have, the meerkats and the kangaroo. They have almost every animal there. It's a gigantic animal sanctuary in the beautiful canyons of Utah. And I think we're going to make a trip out of it. We're going to drive up there. We're going to get a hotel the way there and back. And we're just going to visit New Mexico on the way up and stay at the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Utah. Best Friends is huge. We followed each other back on TikTok, and now we're planning a trip. And I am very excited. I'm very excited for that. It's like a shelter. It's one of the shelter dreams come true, you know? And Jordan has been there before. This will be my first time going to Utah at all. So I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. Yeah. So that's what's been going on. We want to start volunteering at the shelter here in San Antonio, and I'm trying to use my platform to get as many friggin' dogs and cats adopted as I possibly can, you know, without, you know, annoying people with nothing but shelter content. I don't want to overwhelm people or give them too much. It's been a rough year. 2021 was definitely a rough year. I think that 2020 was new and exciting and scary for a lot of people, but 2021 was like, all right, we need this fucking pandemic to end, and it's not. Things are getting worse. It's just, you want to tear your hair out. That's why I, you know, am going back into substitute teaching, but not regular teaching altogether, because the state of teaching right now, it's never been good. It's never been really supportive. You know, there hasn't been a lot of support for teachers, but especially now, teachers are leaving in droves. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. So, yeah, I don't know if I would go into permanent teaching again. It would take a good gig. It would take a real good gig. But I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing now. I'm happy. You know, I've gotten away from it a little bit, but I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. I've forgotten what a blessing I have to be able to do this. You know, I've been focusing too much on the negative. And, you know, sometimes being positive is a good thing. I try not to get into the realm of toxic positivity too much. I know that my content on TikTok is very positive, very golden retriever puppy dog energy, but I try not to make it every facet of my personality. Because, you know, I want to give an accurate representation of who I am. And, you know, there have been a couple months where I was just going through it, depressed as hell. And sometimes you have to embrace the bad feelings before you can come out through the ashes on the other side. You know, it's not always healthy to ignore the bad feelings and try to be positive. Sometimes you got to wallow in the shit before you can get clean. And that's exactly what I had to do, I think. You know? And I'm just now coming out of it. With the help of Lexapro. It made me fucking tired. incredibly tired. All I wanted to do is sleep. And now that I'm getting out of the sleepiness, I mentioned this at the beginning, but I'll mention it again. Holy moly. I want those of you who are thinking about taking Lexapro or are starting Lexapro, be prepared. You might get ravenously hungry. I noticed when I ordered McDonald's and I was like, I'll get a Big Mac and two McChickens. I'll save the McChicken for later. I'll save an extra McChicken if I can't eat. Normally, I just eat the Big Mac and then I save the other two sandwiches. I ate all three of them bitches and was still hungry. I was still hungry after that. And I was like, damn, I need to start getting some. So I bought some carrots and celery and some snack foods that I can munch on when I feel hungry, but that won't, you know, dramatically up the calorie count. But damn, man, I'm hungry right now. I'm hungry right now. And I have a McChicken in the other room. I have a McChicken in the other room. And I think I'm going to go eat it. I think I'm going to go eat it. Yeah. So that's been my journey. That's been a little update for you. I hope that this update finds you well. I hope that you're doing okay. You know, I hope that you're enjoying the content. I hope that you're enjoying the podcast. I'm going to try to spruce it up a little bit more. I've been thinking about adding like background music to the podcast that I do when I talk about certain cases, like when I do the narration and, you know, talk about that sort of stuff. I want to add some background. I want to spruce it up a little bit. Who knows? Just keep giving me your feedback. I want to hear from you. I want to keep hearing from you. I want to hear how I can improve. I want to hear what you like, what you don't like, what you think I can do differently, and what you think I'm doing well already. I thank you for staying with me this long. I thank you for supporting me. For those of you that have been with me since the beginning, mwah, bless you. For those of you that are just now listening, mwah, bless you. I love you all. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're surviving. Hopefully you're thriving. I love you anyway. All right. What I want you to do now is I want you to get on out of here. That's what you need to do. You gotta go. Take a shower. Brush your teeth. Drink some water. And most importantly, don't forget...